This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah ala hizmihi ba'da ilmih wa ala afuhi ba'da qudratih. والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا يستوي القائلون من المؤمنين غير أولي الضرر والمجاهدون في سبيل الله. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected ulama, elders and brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah, sending salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are all aware that this Muslim Ummah encompasses people from different groups, different ethnic and races, different ethnic, geographical and groupings, and with different identities. The differences we observe in people, whether it be in physical appearances, whether it be in their cognitive capacities, whether it be in their health, whether it be in their limitations, it is all part of Allah Ta'ala's creative power. Says Allah in the Holy Quran, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. Amongst the signs of Allah Ta'ala, He created people, He created the heavens and earth, He created people in different languages and different colors and different races. It is part of Allah Ta'ala's creative power that He created people differently. This verse profoundly affirms the inherent honor granted to all humanity without exception. Despite the fact that people are from different races, ethnicity, different capacities, everyone shares in the dignity of being a human being. Says Allah in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. We have granted respect and dignity to every child of Adam alayhi salam. Every human being, by virtue of being a human being, has been granted respect by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of our great ulama, Maulana Sajjad Numani, makes mention today, we don't practice upon this verse. He said, today you and I, we respect people because of their titles. He is so an influential person. He is a Maulana, he is an Alim, he is a doctor, he is a lawyer. Allah didn't tell us to respect titles. Allah Ta'ala told us to respect human beings. Allah Ta'ala said, each and every human being has been given dignity by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this honor that Allah Ta'ala has given is not conditional to a person's abilities or his perceived limitations. Today I want to speak upon a topic and speak about a group of people in our community. They might be in a minority, but there are people within our community, people who have disabilities, whether it be physical or mental disabilities. They are also a very important part of our community. How do we as a community relate to them? And how do we treat them? I will try, inshallah, to enumerate my points. The first point I will make mention of was, as we engage in this discussion with regard to people who are living with disabilities, or sometimes of parents who have children who have disabilities, it is crucial for us to remember that our understanding of people with disability should reflect the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon all His creation. Our approach to individuals with disabilities must be rooted in respect, inclusion, support, recognizing people with disabilities as integral members of the community and equal participants in Allah's honored creation. The first point. The second point. Many a times, people who suffer disabilities, and sometimes they grow with those disabilities, and sometimes parents or relatives of family members who have people who have disabilities might question, why did it happen to us? Why did it happen to my child? Why did it happen to someone within my close family circle? We must understand that one of the corner principles of our belief as Muslims, that everything, including challenges and circumstances we face, is part of Allah Ta'ala's qadr. It is part of Allah Ta'ala's taqdeers. There are times when parents, and there are times when people who are going through that, they sometimes will question that, why is this happening to us? And in fact, today you find a tendency, you find a trend, that people who are healthy, not realizing that their health has been given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they start questioning. People who are in government, people who are in power, people who are in authority, they start looking at people who have disabilities as a burden upon society. And they said, why should we be spending, aliyadu billah, why should we be spending wealth and resources on people who are not productive and cannot give back to society? But they can give back to society in different ways, as I will go on to make mention with regard to it. So it is something that we have to understand, that this comes from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala's wisdom is far beyond human understanding. His plans are always just, even if they might not sync and align with our limited perceptions. So the most important thing is for us to understand is that whatever happens, it happens within the plan, the qadr, and the wisdom of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why a person has disabilities? Why he has, and of course when we talk about disabilities, I'm talking about disabilities across the spectrum. You know, there's always been different ways and the correct, politically correct way with regard to dealing with people. First you used to call and say people with physical, you know, challenges, but that doesn't take into account people who are blind or people who are deaf. So they say people who are living with disabilities, whatever that type of disabilities is. So this is within the plan, with the wisdom of Almighty Allah, even if we cannot understand the wisdom of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not align with our limited understanding and our limited sphere of intellect that we have. Thirdly, the important thing for us to understand is that people who are living with disabilities, it is not a flaw from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not a punishment from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept and created each and everything according to His plan. لَهُ مَقَالِيدُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got everything that He has created. It is according to His plan and His wisdom, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And we've got no right to actually, you know, discriminate or abuse a person who has that disability. Because if we are doing so, we are not actually targeting him. We are targeting the Creator who has created him in such a manner. So if you are in a person who is having a difficulty with walking, who might be crippled, a person who is blind, a person who is deaf, who has difficulty with regard to hearing, and we criticize him, we look down upon him, what are we doing? We are not looking down upon him. We are looking down upon the one who has created him like that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created him that way. So in that way, you are taking out a fault in the creation of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So people who have this disability, we must keep in mind, no flaw, and there is no punishment with regard to it from Allah Ta'ala, that because of that they have been punished by Allah Ta'ala, you know, from Allah Ta'ala, because they are with having this type of disabilities, or they are living with these disabilities. People might remember in the late 1990s, an English manager by the name of Glenn Hoddle, who was the manager of the England soccer team. And he said that people who are living with disabilities are living and they have a karma with regard to the wrongs that they have done in the previous existence of theirs. Because of that, he was severely censured and he was sacked as an English manager. And can you imagine a Muslim can ever have this type of situation and ever have this type of thoughts? Allah Ta'ala does not reward or punish people with regard to the situation that you find yourself in. Allah will not reward you because you have wealth. Allah will not punish you with regard to your poverty. Allah Ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا. Allah has created life and death to test people with regard to the circumstances He put through them to see who does righteous deeds. So when you are in a test in this world, Allah Ta'ala will test you in different ways. The Urdu poet and the Urdu way, they say, Allah Ta'ala kabhi leke azmata hai, kabhi leke azmata hai. Sometimes he tests by giving you. Sometimes he tests by taking you. Sometimes he tests you by giving you good health. And Allah will question you with regard to the good health that he has given you. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam on one occasion went with three of his companions to, were very hungry. They came out at a time when normally people didn't come out, and they went to a very famous person who was known for his hospitality, Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam went. Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala was overjoyed that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr and Umar came. He quickly, he had a small sheep, he slaughtered it. Wife had some flour, she made some bread. He had some three different types of, you know, kajur. He presented it in front of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, ate all of those things, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Rutabun, wa tamarun, wa busarun, wa lahmun, wa khubzun." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said five things Allah subhanahu wa taala provided us with, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam started crying. How many people will cry after having a full meal? How many people will cry after having a full meal? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam cried and he said, "Thumma la tus'alunna yawma idhin 'anil na'im." These are the favors about which Allah will question you. If Allah has given you good health, Allah will question you. So Allah Ta'ala puts us through these type of tests. So when a person has these disabilities and a person is living with them, it doesn't mean that he is punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is part of the test. It is part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's beautiful creative way of why he has made people in different ways. And sometimes because of this test that Allah Ta'ala puts them through, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards them because of them going through that with patience and fortitude. So in these tests that Allah ta'ala grants, it is Allah ta'ala gives it to them because Allah loves them. Allah wants to refine them. You know, they provide an opportunity to purify the soul, strengthen the faith, and to develop qualities like patience and perseverance and empathy on behalf of those people who have health and they have to deal with people who have disabilities. In fact, there is a reward with regard to people who have disabilities and they have, and they make patience and they adopt patience. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said on the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said, "Inna Allah ta'ala idha abtalayta abdi bi habibatayhi fasabara." If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala test a person with two beloved things of his two eyes, his sight, if Allah Ta'ala tests him with him by taking away that sight, and he remains patient with that, there is no recompense for him but Jannah. So there is a reward for people who go through these type of things. And one hadith in Tirmidhi, which is such a great hadith for all of us who do have health, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, when those who are given health, if they will see the reward that Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah and the day of judgment will give to those people who are in difficulty, who had physical challenges, who had disability, if you see the reward Allah will give them on the day of judgment, you would wish that Allah Ta'ala in this world would have, your skin would have been cut into pieces with scissors so that you could get the same reward. So the people who are going through these challenges, physical challenges, or people living with disabilities, so there is nothing wrong. A person can reach perfection and excellence despite those challenges. And the third point with regard to what I'm going to make mention of is there are examples in the Quran and Sunnah from great people of the past, from Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, Sahaba Ikram, who had disabilities, who lived with disabilities, and they were able to achieve great spiritual heights despite the disabilities and challenges they had. Who is unaware with regard to the incident of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, made mention by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the 17 juz of the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Anbiya. 18 years he had leprosy. And one day his wife told him that, you know, why are you not making dua to Almighty Allah? You are a favored of Allah. You are a prophet of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, I feel ashamed that for 70 years Allah gave me health. 70 years Allah gave me health. Allah gave me innumerable favors. I feel ashamed of asking Allah Ta'ala for assistance when I have been tested for a comparatively shorter term than the favors Allah has bestowed upon me. But when she insisted, he made a dua, which Allah has made mention. وَأَيُّوبَ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ وأنت أرحم الراحمين. Recall the time when Ayyub alayhi salatu wa salam made dua to Almighty Allah. And what did he say? Oh Allah, difficulty has come upon me, and you are the most merciful of those who show mercy. No complaints. No, Allah, why did you choose me? Oh Allah, difficulty has come upon me. You are the most merciful, show mercy upon me. In this particular regard, a more appropriate example could be that of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, who had a stuttering. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wa salam was bestowed with prophethood, and he had a stuttering, and he related his difficulty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which tells us that people who have difficulty, who have disabilities, sometimes they can champion, or they can go and tell people and plead with regard to their rights or with regard to their difficulties. So what did he say? رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَأَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِسَانِي. Oh Allah, remove the stuttering from my tongue, that people could understand me. And then he made dua to Almighty Allah. وَأَخِي هَارُونُ هُوَ أَفْسَحُ مِنِّي لِسَانًا. Oh Allah, my brother Harun is more eloquent than me. Send him as a helper to me. I am stuttering. I might not have the eloquence that he has. Send him with me. So he made dua to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help him with regard to his speech impairment. Then amongst the Sahaba, there were so many great people who were there. But look at the great status that they had. There are so many ayats that were revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regard to them. Thabit bin Qais was the orator of the Ansar. He was the orator of the Ansar, Thabit bin Qais. He was an excellent orator. In fact, whenever delegations used to come, our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to call Thabit bin Qais to give the talk. He was an excellent orator, but he was deaf. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat in the Holy Quran, لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي. Don't raise your voice over the voice of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Perhaps because of his situation, when he used to speak more louder than other people. When he heard this verse, he went into hiding. That do not raise your voice over the voice of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he felt that I have a naturally loud voice, but perhaps I have spoken loudly in the presence of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which could be tantamount to disrespect. And when Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam after a while said, what has happened to Thabit? Ya Rasulullah, because of this verse, he went away. He went into hiding. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him and said, Thabit, this is not about you. This is about people who speak loud in my presence out of disrespect. Not because of you, you have a naturally loud voice. He was a deaf orator. And you see, in every particular category of people you have within the Sahaba and within the great heroes of Islam, you have a hero. So for example, people who are wealthy, they can have Abdurrahman ibn Auf as a hero. People who have, you know, who have the love for jihad, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala could be the hero. People, everyone has a hero. In this particular regard, the greatest hero that we can talk about is with regard to Abdullah bin Umm Maktum, a blind Sahabi. Subhanallah, he was a blind Sahabi who was born blind. His mother's name was Atika. She was known as Umm Maktum, the mother of the concealed one. And that is why he came to be known as Abdullah bin Umm Maktum. She used to be known as Umm Maktum, the mother of the concealed one, because he was blind. He became a Muslim in the very early stages of Islam. And he remained firm and he persevered upon Islam despite the difficulty that came upon the earlier Muslims, which came upon him also because he was blind. But Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him the greatest amount of respect and dignity, despite the fact that he was blind. So you will find that the most famous incident of his happened because he was blind. He wanted to become a hafiz. He had a passion for becoming a hafiz. Every small time and occasion and opportunity he had, he used to come to our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, teach me a few ayats that I can go memorize and come back to you. And one day he came, because he was blind, he was not aware that who was with Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was speaking to prominent members of the Quraysh, hoping that they could accept Islam. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed a certain degree that, given the fact that I'm speaking to prominent people, if they become Muslims, it could help them the situation of Islam. And here is a person who knows me, he could come afterwards. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned and continued his discussion with the people of Quraysh. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, abasa wa tawalla, and ja'ahu al-a'ma. You turned away from someone who was blind. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter, whenever Abdullah bin Maktoum used to come, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to get up out of respect for him. And used to say, welcome to the one because of whom I was reminded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of you I was reminded. Ulama have said that there were 16 verses of the Holy Quran that was revealed because of Abdullah bin Maktoum. 16 verses of the Quran revealed because of a blind sahabi. When the time came for jihad, he excused himself and said, Ya Rasulullah, I would also like to go to jihad, but I can't make myself available because I'll become a hindrance to the people who are fighting. So Allah Ta'ala revealed the verse that the people who go out in jihad, they are superior than the people who don't go out in jihad. And he came and complained. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, what about people like us who want to go but we can't go because of our situation? Allah Ta'ala added into that verse, غَيْرُ أُولِي الذَّرَرِ, because of the insistence of Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum. They are not equal except the person who has a valid reason. But despite the fact, in every battle, he used to try and be in the forefront with regard to the battle. And eventually in the battle of Al-Qadisiyah, he told the people, hide me amongst your midst. Hide me amongst your midst, so that I can take part in the battle. And he was martyred in that battle. And when they found him after the battle, he had the flag of Islam in his hand. Here is a Sahabi who was blind and he became a martyr, which shows that disability will not prevent you and should not prevent you from reaching the highest stages of spiritual excellence. This is Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to make him the Amir. 10 times he made him the Amir. In today's time, when they talk great about the aspect with regard to, you know, the rights of people of living with disabilities, they talk about inclusion. That you must include people. And the definition of inclusion is a sense of belonging, feeling respected and valued for who you are, rather than your challenges. What greater aspect of inclusion that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam making a blind Sahabi as an Amir of Medina? 10 times. This is what Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now given these type of things, what is our duty towards them? Go and visit them. One day Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, take me to this man, his name was Sufyan, who lives in Banu Waqif, which was far away from Masjid Nabawi. He was blind, I want to go and visit him. Make arrangements for them. Go and help them. Our masjid should have that type of facilities to make it easy for people with disabilities to come. And you should see to it, even with regard to the way we place our shoes. For us it's easy, we place our shoes, I will be able to come and fetch it. What happens with people who have disabilities? How do they come and access the masjid if you put your shoes in a way that is not good? Let me conclude with one very amazing thing. You know, it is so amazing, and this is my last point, that such beautiful teachings we have that includes each and every aspect of the community. We don't look down upon anyone in the community, even people who have disabilities. If we have such great teachings, it would seem that we should be the ones in the forefront with regard to showing empathy and kindness to people who have challenges. Unfortunately, it is not so. I have a nephew, and today I made mention, I spoke to him last night. I said, I'm going to make mention of you. Who has a challenge? He's on a wheelchair. And he told me something. I get greater sympathy and empathy from non-Muslims than Muslims. I get greater sympathy and empathy from non-Muslims than Muslims. He said, at least sometimes when you see people who are in disability, struggling, and they are in a mall, or they want to, you know, their lips might not be working, they need to go somewhere, at least go and offer to help, at least show kindness, at least show a willingness to assist. With these type of teachings that we have, how is it possible that a person can say that I have greater sympathy from people who are not Muslims than from people who are Muslims? So this is just one example with regard to many. I have given, you know, the talk with regard to it, and in this talk, I have spoken with regard to the inherent respect and dignity Allah has given to every human being, despite his challenges, despite his background, despite his disabilities that he might have. I have spoken with respect with regard to the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala and whatever he has created. I have told you there is nothing wrong with regard to people. It's not a punishment from Almighty Allah. It is part of the test. I have also spoken about the great rewards Allah Ta'ala will give them because of the patience. I have given an example of great people in our past who had this and still they spiritually excelled. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the tawfiq of understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
more